You know, I was reading a comic strip just the other day, and on it it says, I have a hard time believing this story of the three wise men. One maybe, but three. How many ladies here can relate to that? I mean, it's hard enough finding one wise man in the crowd, let alone three, right? You know, it's interesting how we get our theology sometimes, isn't it? We get our theology from the internet, and we believe almost everything we read. We get our theology from movies. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I grew up watching movies, and I grew up watching a particular biblical movie, and some of you may know what it is. The Ten Commandments. It's when Moses is played by Charlton Heston, and Yul Brynner plays the Pharaoh. And Moses goes, let my people go. And then the Pharaoh goes, no, Moses, they're my people. You know, and they keep on going on and on and on. And I really enjoyed this movie for various reasons, even though it was a 1956 movie. But then just recently, the last week, another movie came out. I don't know if you know. It's called Exodus, Gods and Kings. Did you see it? It's starring Christian Bale as Moses. But you know what? Not quite the same. I went to see it. It's not quite the same. I mean, it had better special effects. It had a bigger budget. It had better cinematography. But you know what? It just wasn't quite there. The reverence and the awe of God, I just didn't find it there. So what happened? I go home. I didn't feel satisfied. A couple of days later, I watched this again. 3 hours and 35 minutes worth of it again, just to get my fill. It's funny how we get our theology and where we get our theology sometimes. Sometimes from the internet, sometimes from movies. Sometimes we can get our theology from playing video games. We get our theology from Christmas carols that we sing. We get our theology from the plays that we watch. Now, even the nativity scenes. You know, contrary to popular belief, the Magi were not with the shepherds. The Magi were not with the shepherds around the manger the night that Jesus was born. They were not there. They arrived later, possibly weeks, months, some scholars say even a year or two after Jesus was born. He was already a young child living in a whole house. And scripture says this. What is true, though, however, is that the Magi, they were on a very, very, very long journey, you know, possibly thousands of kilometers away. And although some have referred to them as kings, they were not kings. They were more so advisors to kings. They were skilled in philosophy and science and astrology. They were known as wise men, and they must have been wise. I mean, they were traveling all that distance looking for a child, and they didn't even have any GPSs or Google Maps to guide them. You know, the Bible never mentioned that they got lost, but when they didn't know the way, look what it says in verse 2. They asked for instructions. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? Imagine that. Men stopping to ask for direction. This is unheard of. You see, ladies, it can happen. And it did happen once, 2,000 years ago. These were men of influence, men of intellect, men of wealth. Their exact number is not clear. They could have been anywhere between 2 or upwards to 12 of them. The Magi represents Gentiles, people like you and me, non-Jews. But the purpose of the journey was very clear. They'd come to worship the one born King of the Jews. It says in verse 2, the last part, we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Why would non-Jews come to worship Jesus? Could it be because his birth was prophesied 700 years earlier by Micah? You know, in verse 6, it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know, God's ultimate king will be born in Bethlehem. He will reign in righteousness and in justice, the Bible says. And so when they saw the star, they saw his star and realized that the prophecy was being fulfilled. They came to worship the Messiah. They came to worship the Christ, the promised one, the one who would come to provide hope of salvation for the whole world, to save people from their sins. You see, when the Magi first saw the star in the east, they began a journey towards Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, they headed to Bethlehem. The star that they saw in the east went ahead of them. It went ahead of them, verse 9 says. And it stopped at a place where the child was. The Bible does not tell us what the star looked like. It probably was not as cute as the star that we had here on stage. And it didn't tell us how it moved. But the Bible makes a point. God had drawn this star. God had drawn this star, just like he had drawn the wise men to his son. Creation is being pulled in. Creation is being drawn in by the Creator to where Christ's child was born. Now Jesus says to his disciples, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." You see, God must have awakened their desire. The desire to seek him. You know, speaking to him in a very personal way. You know, in a way that they understood. You know, imagine that. Using a star to communicate to those who studied the heavenly lights. And as the Magi responded with their minds and responded with their hearts to the light that they received, God led them to his perfect truth, to the Son of God. You know, how may God be drawing you to himself this Christmas? How may God be speaking to you in a very personal way so that you can hear his heart for you? Do you sense him doing so? Do you sense God doing this in your life? When the Magi saw that the star had stopped, the Bible says in verse 10 that they were overjoyed. They were overwhelmed with joy. You know, brothers and sisters, do you ever get the sense that some of us has lost our joy? We've lost our joy in life. We've lost our joy even maybe for the Christmas season. You know, we've become a bit like Dr. Seuss's Grinch, haven't we? I mean, sometimes our heads are not on right. Sometimes our shoes are a bit tight. Sometimes our hearts become two sizes too small. And the noise of Christmas has drowned out the joy in our hearts, the joy in our spirits. Do you sense this in yourself? Is this you? The hurriedness, the harshness of our lives has stolen our joy. And I was thinking about this week. I was wondering, you know, in what things do we base our joy in today? You know, I know for the kids amongst us, you would be rejoicing, I believe, you know, if you got that present that you've been eyeing all year. For the girls, pay attention. For the girls, what about the American Girl dolls? I hear that they're quite a hit. What about the spaghetti heads? You know what they are, right? Okay, I hear that you actually wear them on your hair. That's what you do with them. Or what about the coveted Elsa doll? Singing what song? Singing what song? Let It Go, right? I mean, probably if you get this for Christmas, parents, if you get your kids this for Christmas, for the first day when Elsa sings Let It Go, I'm sure it'll be very joyful. But after 2 weeks of Elsa singing Let It Go, I think it'll be time for you to let her go. And for the boys amongst us, the boys, you know, what about, I believe that the ninja mutant, sorry, the the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are still quite in. And what about the fireman minion character, right? Or what about the sky viper camera drone? You get to fly this helicopter and you get to take videos of everyone. Or a kid's smartwatch. This is my favorite. My favorite is coming up. I wish I was a kid again. The Roboraptor X. An electronic dinosaur that you can control, remote control. For others of us, we would rejoice if the Canucks can win. I was going to say win the cup, but I was going to say if they can win a game. I mean, they've been losing, five games in a row, and they barely won last night. If the Canucks could win their first ever Stanley Cup, which they came close in 2011, which they came close in 1994, actually, for those of you who are real buffs, did the Canucks ever win the Stanley Cup? Okay, sorry, let me rephrase that. Did Vancouver ever win the Stanley Cup? Okay. When did they win the Stanley Cup? So the Vancouver Millionaires, okay, they're called the Millionaires, did win the Stanley Cup one time. What year? Close, 14 was close. 1915. It's been 100 years, ladies and gentlemen, since we've had the cup in Vancouver. Oh my goodness. Now, I know women would rejoice if they felt secure in someone's love. If they received words of affirmation, words of affection, words of encouragement. If they got a hug every day, a box of chocolates or flowers every now and then. I believe women would rejoice if their meals were planned for and cooked for by someone else. If their housework and their laundry were done by someone else. Hint, hint, husbands and children. I believe women would rejoice if every day was a spa day. Now, I get the massages. Okay, I get that. I get the mineral salts and the fragranted candles and the soaps and the rocks on the back and maybe even the mud mass. I get all that, okay? I get the lying in the hot tub and all that stuff, the nails and the hair. But what's with these? What's with these cucumber slices? Can everyone enlighten me what it's for? I don't get these, okay? I don't get those. Now, men would rejoice if they could get one of those large, flat-screen 3D HD TVs so they can watch their favorite movie in 3D high definition. What's with bigger is better with men? Now, that I don't get either. The bigger, the better. Maybe it's that humongous iPhone 6 Plus that you've been eyeing, or that iWatch that's about to come out next year, early in 2015. You know, of course, all these things are just temporary joys in life. They're momentary happiness until the next model comes along. Or our culture's desire for things that never truly satisfy. We're fixated with that. I don't know why. The Bible says that the Magi were overjoyed. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. What caused them to rejoice in such ways? Now, after years of seeking after Christ, of responding to God's direction by active faith, following the only light that they had, their journey had been complete. They found the one for whom they were searching for all these years. It's like finding your true love. Finding your true love. Only this is the lover of your soul. Only this is the creator of the universe who knows each and every person of us so well, who created us while we're in our mother's womb. And they responded when they found him in worship and in love. They come to God's great revelation of himself to man. And they presented Jesus with gifts. Now, I'm not talking about bringing Jesus gift cards like we do today. We've got gift cards to the Bay, to Tim Hortons, to White Spot, to Winners. You know, we're not talking about that. What did the Magi bring to Jesus? They brought gifts of gold, symbolic of his royalty and his kingship. They brought gifts of frankincense, symbolic of Jesus' deity and his high priestly role. They brought gifts of myrrh, symbolic of Jesus' suffering and Jesus' death. You know, at this time of year, we like to give gifts, don't we, to our loved ones? And some people are easy to buy gifts for. But then there are others that are impossible to buy gifts for, because they have everything already. They already have everything. And what would you give to someone that already has everything? Kids, what would you give to your mom and dad? Boys and girls, what would you give to your parents? Okay, you don't have to do anything, okay? I see some of the whites in your eyes already. Oh my goodness, I have to get my parents something? But did you ever think about it at least? What would you give to someone who has everything? What would you ever give to God? What could we ever give to Jesus? Have we ever thought about that? You know, you see, unlike the Magi, perhaps we may not be able to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But like the Magi, we can give God three things. We can give God our hope, our time, and our worship. The Magi gave Jesus their hope. You know, when everyone else saw a dark night sky, they saw the light. And the sight of the star sparked the desire in their hearts that sent them on their journey. If our hearts have been darkened by loneliness, if they've been saddened by grief, saddened by disappointments, if it's been darkened by loss, despair, and depression, if we have a lack of direction and purpose in life, we need to look for the light that only Jesus can give. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So give to Jesus your hope this Christmas. Now place your hope in him and in him alone. Not on anyone else or on anything else in the world, because he's the only one that can ultimately satisfy the longing of our hearts. And in addition, the Magi gave Jesus their time. They gave Jesus their time. The Magi desired to seek after the Savior of the world. But before they can kneel before him, they spent much time earnestly searching for him. And so just as the Magi devoted themselves to seeking after God, so we are given this promise in the Bible. In Jeremiah 29, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. You know, God rewards those who earnestly seek and who diligently search for him. So give to the Lord the devotion of your time. Spend time in his presence. Okay, do spend a day going Boxing Day shopping, okay? You probably need to do that. So spend a day doing that. Spend a day going skiing or snowboarding if there's snow up in the mountains. You know, spend a day going out with friends and family members. But spend time in God's presence. Share your heart with him. Share your deepest longings with him. Share your desire with him. Your desire to be led by him. Your desire to be guided by him. You know, listen to God's heart for you. Listen to his thoughts of you. You know, listen to him call you his beloved son, his precious daughter. And then when they found him, the Magi gave Jesus another gift. They gave them their worship. They offered their love and their worship to Jesus. They responded to the love of God by offering their love back to God in return. How will you respond to God's love? How will you show your love to Christ this Christmas? The Bible says in verse 11, the passage we've been reading, when they saw the child, they bowed down and worshiped him. They were overcome with emotion and they knelt before the Lord. Now, this is what happens when people come into contact with the living Christ. Now, there were two distinct times in my life when I was so overcome with the Lord's love that my natural response, my natural inclination was to fall down and worship him. You know, during both of these times, the first time was when I came to know Christ on the night I became a Christian. The second time was when I was called into ministry. During both of these times, I felt the overwhelming love of God just pour into my life. Just flood into my soul, my being. And all I could do was fall down and worship and love to the Lord. As you sense the Lord's love for you this Christmas through the gift of his son, may you be in awe of this love. And may you respond with love by giving to God, by giving to Jesus your hope, your time, and your worship. This is what we can give to those, to the one who has everything. On the first Christmas, there was another journey other than the journey that the Magi took. The Lord Jesus journeyed from heaven to earth. He came into our world from his throne up high to the womb of a teenager, to be born in a manger. And then he grew up and he went to Nazareth. And he traveled to Jerusalem and to the cross and then back to heaven and then into our hearts. So where are you on your journey of faith this morning? Are you starting out looking to find the one who's worthy of your worship? Did you at one time commit yourself to Christ, accepting his gift of salvation, but somehow you lost the joy of your salvation? And if that is you, take heart. As this story of the Magi, as this story of the star reminds us that Christ will draw us to himself if we earnestly seek him like the Magi did. Has he not drawn you here today? Has he not opened your heart and your mind to him in recent days? But some of you may be searching for Christ. You've been searching for Christ for a while now, and you've come to that point in that journey where you recognize that he is indeed God and that he wants to have a personal relationship with you. But that your sins, my sins, have caused a barrier, a separation between us and God, between us and a holy God. And you desire to reconcile with God, to make peace with God. And you can do so by asking God to forgive you of your sins, to believe that Jesus died on the cross for those sins, and to receive his forgiveness. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then you'll also receive the gift of God's presence, the gift of his Holy Spirit that will come to live in you forever. You know, sometimes the distance of the journey to know the Lord is not as far as we may think. It is not as long, not as difficult as we may think. Because the Lord himself has traveled the greatest distance. He has traveled the greater journey to us, as is shown by his birth on Christmas Day. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us pray. So, Lord God, we are in your presence. And as we come into your presence, oh God, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for that great love of your gift of Jesus Christ unto us. And we recognize this great gift that you've given to us. And so, Lord God, we come here today wanting to respond to you, wanting to ask that you would be near to us as we desire to be near to you. For those of us who have received you, O Lord God, we thank you that you have given us that eternal life, that relationship with you that is never ending. For others, O Lord Jesus, who do not know you yet, who are here today, I pray, O God, that they will have opportunity sometime this Christmas to recognize the reality of who you are. And as they do so, oh God, I pray that they would, like the Magi did, like many of us did at one time, we fell down and we worshiped you as our Lord and King, as the one who deserves our praises and our praise of you and to receive our glory unto yourself. And so, Lord God, we thank you. You continually draw us to yourself. You continue to call us, oh Lord Jesus, into your presence. We want to commit our loved ones to you in that way. May they see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is this Christmas. We thank you again. We want to worship you and adore you. We praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.